In the book of Acts, chapter 13, we continue our journey this year. Go reach our world. Now we're going to focus on the world. Today we're going to take a look at expanding. And by expanding, I don't mean building new buildings. I don't mean approving new budgets. I mean expanding the kingdom of God. Okay? If that requires new buildings and new budgets, so be it. But the focus is spreading the word of God throughout the world. Today we're going to talk about the work. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the word of God? Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you for your word. And now we pray that you'll take your word, apply it to our lives, Lord. Show us where we need to change. And give us the courage to change for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Are you concerned about the people in Russellville? Okay, this is not a message where you can sit there and I do all the talking. Are you concerned about the people in Russellville? Yeah. All right. I mean, it's easy to be concerned. If we're not, we should be concerned. It's easy to be concerned for those people that are immediately in our lives. For those that we look around and we see the need. But do you realize there are people in communities all over the world who do not know who Jesus is? There are people in communities all over the world who do not know the story of the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people who are being swept away by cults and false religion, and we're the only hope they have. This is where you say amen. Okay? Let's go much quicker if y'all amen me, okay? We'll get out, we'll beat everybody else to the restaurant. But with that in mind, you and I, this church, being the only hope that some people have for eternity, we've got to expand our vision beyond Pope County. We have to expand our vision to a vision for the world. And today, we see how to get that vision started, okay? That's what the church at Antioch did. And I want to begin our teaching today with the believers at Antioch being empty believers. Now, when I say empty believers, this is a positive empty believer, okay? This isn't a negative, this is a positive. We begin in the text, and the first thing we find out, they were at Antioch ministering. That word minister, it means to render service to God. They were praying, they were teaching, they were doing good works, they were worshiping, they were serving. Everything about their lives was the Father's business. As a matter of fact, they had a passion for the will of God. Not only for Antioch, but for other places, and we learn that in just a moment. Therefore, their passion, because of their passion for God, they put themselves in a position to know the will of God. And you know how they did that? Number one, they ministered. Number two, they fasted. I knew it would get silent after that. I realize fast is a four-letter word, okay? But they fasted. You know what fasting is? That's not just setting aside food, all right? I don't like to set aside food. I knew I'd get an amen with that one. Come on. No, I don't like doing without. Fasting is not about doing without. Fasting is about setting aside food or the time you would spend eating and replacing that activity with prayer and a preoccupation for spiritual concerns. For example, instead of eating, I'm going to spend time in prayer. Instead of snacking, I'm going to spend time searching the Word of God. And it really has a neat meaning. The word fast comes from the root word, which means one who is empty. Now that's why I say this is a good empty. All right? Being empty believers. And the idea is that you empty yourself of every distraction, everything that would take away from the will of God and knowing the will of God. You get rid of it and you focus wholly 100% on God and knowing the will of God. You see, the problem with most of us is we work Jesus into our own schedule. We've blocked off Sunday morning 9:30 to 12, Sunday evening 6 to 7, Wednesday 6 to 8. And once we fill those blocks, we've done what we're supposed to do. And you know, it's like checking off the box. But we're missing the point of really, instead of trying to work Jesus into our schedule, putting our schedule aside and just seek God. You ever do that? Just seek the will of God. The desire to know, God, what direction do you want me to go? And that's what the church at Antioch was doing. They're ministering, fasting, set aside everything so they would know and realize and be able to do the will of God. And you know what happened? This is the neatest thing. Are you ready to hear something neat? I'm not going to let you go to sleep, okay? Are you ready to hear something neat? Amen. Okay. Ministering, fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? They were putting themselves in that position, and lo and behold, God spoke. He directed them. And when I'm thoroughly convinced, when we empty ourselves and we're willing to put aside our schedules to seek God, God's going to speak to us. We're going to hear from God. They received very clear, concise direction concerning God's desires. And now they're ready to move. That ministering, fasting, and the Holy Spirit speaking led to employed missionaries. Now this is a great thing in that every missionary that is called of God should be enabled to go on the field. Bless your heart. Every missionary called of God should be enabled to be on the field of his calling. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. When churches get that attitude of seeking God, God's going to speak and he's going to start putting people in the places that they're supposed to be. And we start here with authority. The Spirit said, separate to me. Set these guys apart, Paul and Barnabas. Single them out. Designate them. Mark off the boundaries. Set them in a position to do what I've called them. God says, I've called them. Now you put them in a position to enable them to answer my call. Here's the question. You ready? Are you ready? Okay. I'm going to keep you with me. One way, you may go kicking and screaming, but we're going together, okay? Here's the question. God called them. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, God revealed His call on Paul's life that he was to be a missionary to the Gentiles. And if God called them, why in the world did the church at Antioch need to be involved? Seems kind of silly, does it not? Well, not really. All right? The reason the church in Antioch was involved is that God, throughout the ages, has had a chosen people to work His work through. You go to the Old Testament, the children of Israel, the chosen people of God. It was not about them being the chosen people of God. It was about them being God's representatives on earth. And they missed that point. Okay? That was the Old Testament. The New Testament. You know what church is about? It's God's mode of working on this earth. Of reflecting God to the world. That's what we're here for. And we call that, you know, I would call that church authority. God works through His New Testament church. As a matter of fact, when you get these guys that are on their own, it throws up an immediate red flag when they're just on their own trying to build a church. God has chosen to work through His church, and it's the church's job to get behind a missionary so that he can build a church. Okay? That's the whole concept. As a matter of fact, it kind of goes like this. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus shared the vision. And I say to you that as you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the vision. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. He's not building on Peter. He's building upon Himself. Okay? The vision is a growing, vibrant, reproducing church. In Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, God commissions His church. And by saying, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, He's given the vision. He's building His church. He's commissioned His church. Okay? Given us a job to do. For what reason? For His glory. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 21. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know these people who say, I don't believe in church? You ever had anybody say, I don't believe in church? I've gotten it several times as a pastor. Invite them to church. You know, invite people. Well, I don't believe in church. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe in. Jesus has designated His church as the authority to get His work done upon this earth today. Okay? And you can belittle the church. And yes, I know we're much less than perfect. However, we are God's chosen people and mode of operation today. All right? It's our responsibility to make sure that men answer the call. And to enable those men to do the work that God has called me. That God has called them. How do you do that? How do we as a church do that? Well, we do that by making it possible for these men to go where God called them to go by breaking open, for one thing, our billfold. I know that there are probably those in this congregation, oh, I knew that preacher would get to money sooner or later. Well, you know, rain on, not, never mind. Here's a fact. God's missionaries have got to pay the same bills that you and I pay. Okay? They have got to feed their family. They've got to provide for their family. And it's our job to make sure they do that without worry, so that the main focus of their life be to present the gospel to a lost and dying world. Okay? And I truly do. I have a vision for our church in support of missionaries that when people talk about victory, they say, wow, man, that is one generous church. See, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And the laborer is worthy of his hire. Do you realize that being a missionary is a very difficult job? It is. Hours of study. You say, Brother Doug, doesn't study bring you joy? Absolutely, it brings a pastor, a missionary, anybody that is a minister of the word, it does bring joy. But I'll tell you what, it also wears you down. You spend all day studying, you'll know you have worked. Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, much studying is wearisome to the flesh. Most people don't get that. Oh, he just sits in his office all day. Yeah, right. Being a missionary means knowing the Word of God, spending that time in the Word of God. Being a missionary means dealing with people. Do you know being a missionary would be a wonderful thing if you didn't have to deal with people? It would. And listen, Brother Doug, don't missionaries love people? Yes. But boy, they'll lie to you. Let me invite you to our new church, and you know, oh, we'll be there. You never see them again. Never see them again. They'll even go out and talk about you. Oh, that's that fly-by-night group that meets down there in that little portable building. You know? I mean, it's one thing. Imagine, if you would, to walk outside these walls and there not be a church in the city of Russellville. And you walk outside these walls and you are the only one there. Maybe you've got your wife and a couple children. But you walk outside these walls and God says, okay, now, partner, you get out there and build me a church. I'll tell you what, it kind of makes cold chills come over me. Because I'll be perfectly honest with you, I love you guys. I love seeing you every week. I love preaching to you every week. I love being encouraged by you. I love sharing my burdens with you. I love, you know, the interaction that we have as a church family. However, there are missionaries that do not have that interaction. And you step out there and say, oh, that missionary, what is he doing up there? I'll be honest with you, I've never been a missionary. I can't imagine the heartbreaks and the rejection. And quite honest with you, I can't see where anyone in this right mind would desire to be a missionary. The only way you desire to be a missionary is if God calls you. And if God calls you, you better go. And if God calls a man and he's ready to go, we better get behind him and support him. Okay? We better be on his side there, ready to encourage, ready to provide, ready to do whatever we can do. Why? Because the laborer is worthy of his wage. See, that's our responsibility. We have a missionary, and listen, this isn't about we're not supporting our mission. This is about refreshing our support of all missionaries, okay? Well, we do have a missionary in Columbia, Missouri. They've been there 2 years. And in his eyes, you know, response has been very minimal. In my eyes, I'm thinking, well, buddy, you're doing a good job, you know. They baptized their first one here a couple months ago. I want us as a church to renew our zeal and to renew our passion for our missionary. And not only our missionary, but all missionaries. And treat them in a way that we've never treated them before. Why, Brother Doug? Well, because 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. You know what that means? I'm going to tell you, Bible speaking, this is what it means. You ought to pay the guy double. And you ought to consider him worth double. Now that's Bible. And you say, Brother Doug, that's just the fact. That's what it says. And quite honestly, when I start going down the list and thinking of what missionaries go through, I think we ought to pay them triple or quadruple. I really do.
because they face burdens and things that I don't face, that you don't face. And yet they're the ones willing to go out there and put themselves, make themselves vulnerable to carry the gospel message to the world. Beloved, I want us to, for the next several weeks, just to make it a point to start blessing missionaries. And I'm not talking about supporting missionaries. I'm talking about blessing missionaries. We support missionaries all over the world, okay? As a matter of fact, 15% of our gross receipts go to supporting missions, which I think is great in a way, but I also think it's not so good in a way, because we back up and we say, okay, we as a church give 15%. But let me ask you, what do you as an individual give? You see, if I don't give as an individual, I tend not to be too worried about it. Okay? If I don't invest as an individual, I tend not to be too worried about it. So here's my challenge. Okay? Are you ready to be challenged? Amen. Amen. All right, here's my challenge. On October 25th is Missions Day at Victory. Okay? I've invited Brother Lynn Rayburn to come and be our speaker for that day. And he's going to share with us about missionaries all over the world. Brother Lynn is a missionary to missionaries. He travels all over the world. A missionary can pick up the phone and say, I need help. And he can be in the Ukraine. And Brother Lynn will buy his ticket by this afternoon and be on a plane tomorrow. That's the kind of guy he is. But he's going to share with us about missionaries. About what they go through and how we can be an encouragement to them. But here's what I want us to do on October 25th, and I'm giving you heads up notice. You like advance notice? Okay. I want us to receive a special blessing offering for our missionary on that day. Okay? And this offering not be to support the mission itself, to go pay rent or stuff like that, that this offering just go in the pocket of Brother Ben Hightower to be a blessing to him and to his family. What do you think about that? Amen. Isn't that cool? Second question is, Brother Doug, well, how much do you want to... First of all, I want it to be a special offering where you have to give as an individual. Second, I want you to give as individuals, okay? Wouldn't it be so cool? Are you with me? Are you listening? Wouldn't it be so cool to hand our missionary a check for $10,000 and say, brother, this is just to bless you and your family? Some of you swallowed your gum just then, didn't you? $10,000, oh my... Wouldn't it be cool? Well, Brother Doug, nobody's ever given me $10,000. Well, would you reject it if they did? Wouldn't it be cool if they did? If somebody just walked up to you, I just want to bless you. Here's a check for $10,000. Would you take it? Come on, give me the amen. There's not a single one in here who wouldn't do it. Oh, but let me tell you. That's kind of a personal goal. That's kind of a number that God put in my head. When I was preparing this message and thinking about this, and I almost, this morning I said, I probably need to mark that down to five. Wouldn't it be cool to give our missionary $5,000? And the guy was like, no, don't back up, boy. Don't back up. So what I'm going to ask you to do is on October 25th, between now and then, be preparing in a special way so you can be as generous as you can possibly be. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not going to get a dime of it. None of the church staff here is going to get a dime. It's not for any of us. It is 100% for our missionary. Just say, brother, we love you and we're behind you. Okay? And then, in the coming months, I would like to do it for every missionary that we support. Not just Brother Ben. You know, to go down the list. You know, y'all remember Danny Fudge? You remember that old rascal, don't you? Wouldn't you like to be a blessing to him? You see, because a lot of you have been blessed through his ministry here. And now he's working. He's working in Omaha. And he's blessing other people there. But wouldn't it be neat just to write him a check and say, Brother Danny, this is for you and your family just to bless you. You see, that's what I'm talking about in being in supporting our missionaries. See, when we as a church empty ourselves and get on our knees and pray and seek God and yeah, even times of fasting and laying aside things, God, show us what we should do. And then God puts that plan before us and gives us missionaries and opportunities and giving opportunities. Let's don't just be half-hearted. Let's go full force. Let's go all the way. And when that happens, we're going to see effective ministry. Effective missionaries. Once again, you know, this just beats everything. They started out there praying, fasting, and ministering. And then as you close in verse 3, then having fasted and prayed, these guys had to be on a weight loss program. They never ate, did they? Now they're fasting again. Setting aside food and whatever else so they could concern themselves with spiritual matters of their missionaries, Paul and Barnabas. They weren't, I find it interesting, you see, they were really concerned enough to pray. And they weren't praying because they had a personal problem. They weren't praying because they were sick themselves. They were concerned for Paul and Barnabas, and they were on their knees pouring out their heart to God on behalf of their missionaries. You know why we don't pray? Because prayer is hard work. I mean, real prayer is hard work. When we get on our knees and we start out, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then that thought flutters through our mind. Oh, I'm supposed to meet so and so for lunch today. I wonder where we'll go. I wonder what we'll eat. I wonder, and you know, first thing you know, you're still on your knees, but you're not praying. Does that happen to anybody else but me? It makes me so. Then I start all over. Okay, Our Father who art in heaven, I wonder how my granddaughter's doing today. I hope she's feeling better. I'm not praying again. You know what I got? I've got to. See, the reason I say prayer is work is because you've got to kind of have this determination about yourself that says, I'm going to get on my knees until I actually commune and talk to God. And I'm not going to settle for anything less. Okay? And that's what these guys were doing on behalf of their missionaries. Are you praying for our missionaries? Do you pray for Brother Ben? Do you pray for Brother Danny? Do you pray for our missionaries of the American Baptist Association? I mean, really pray where you get down on your knees and when that thought flutters across of where I'm going and what else I've got to do, you say, get behind me, Satan. I'm praying for my missionary. You just pour your heart out to God. You refuse to settle for anything less. You want our missionary to be effective. Our missionaries to be effective. We've got to have an effective prayer life. They fasted and prayed as they were getting ready to go. Second thing, they laid their hands on them. You know, that scares some people when you lay hands. I like an ordination service because you get to lay hands on people. Makes them a little nervous, you know. Literally, it's symbolic. It's symbolic of your approval and a pledge of support. You're saying, I approve of what God is doing in your life, missionary. I approve that you're going on the mission field. And not only do I approve, but I'm going to pledge my support to you. You know, it means you're behind it. They fasted, prayed, they laid hands on them, and they sent them away. This is the coolest part of the whole message. Are you ready? Amen. It's the last point of the whole message. Are you ready for that? They sent them away. Literally, if you translated that from the Greek, it says they set them free. Isn't that cool? They didn't just say, get on out of here, good luck to you. They set them free. They set them free to do what? To do what God called them to do. You see, that's the cool part about supporting missions and missionaries. It's not just about, you know, getting good reports on a monthly basis and all that. It's about setting someone free, freeing them from the distractions of everything that this life would throw at them so that their full attention can be occupied upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, and Paul's going to leave out here. And you know what Paul does, right? He goes to preaching and people start getting saved. He preaches and churches start rising up. I mean, here was a man, in my opinion, okay, was the best missionary ever, was the Apostle Paul. Here's how he got his start. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. I want to enable our missionaries to be the modern day Apostle Pauls. I want to set them free so they can answer God's call. I want to take away their worries so that they don't have to concern themselves with finances and other matters of a physical nature, but so they can pour their whole heart out into the Word of God. I want us as a church, and like I said, this message has not been a message saying, we're not, you know, you're not doing your job. No, it's a message that hopefully will remind you why we do what we do and give us a renewed zeal for these guys who are not only in Columbia, Missouri, but who are in Africa, Kenya. Oh, Brother James Taylor, bless his heart. Bless him. I can't imagine the trials and issues that he faces. Malaria, you know, and I don't think they've invented pavement over there yet, have they, Brother Joe? Because they, you know, mud holes and dirt roads every week trying to get to meeting places to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we as a church have a renewed zeal, a new generosity such as we've never had before in financing and supporting the armies of the Lord as they go out to the remote parts of the world. You may be here today this missionary message is kind of foreign to you. You usually don't hear messages like this on Sunday morning. Perhaps we should hear more messages like this on Sunday morning, you know? Because, see, this is where our spiritual faith, where our faith actually gets feet. It's one thing to come and worship every Sunday and, you know, have a good time and then leave it until we come back. The challenge is that we never leave it, but that we live it day by day. You may be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share the message, the gospel message as we call it, which means the good news. The good news is you don't have to spend eternity in hell because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth and died for your sins, took your punishment. Oh, Brother Doug, I'm not that bad. Oh, but yes, you are. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody here. And unless you take care of the sin, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, how do you do that? Very simply. You quit trying to earn it yourself. You quit trusting in churches. And you trust in the one who died to save you. That's Jesus Christ. If you're not a child of God, we're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. And I'm going to invite you to come receive Jesus as your Savior. If you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, I'm going to invite you to come. And maybe you're here and we just need to spend time at this altar, Lord, praying for our missionaries. And while you're doing that, I want to challenge you. And while you're praying for your missionaries, pray, Lord, give me, enable me to be generous to our missionary in this special offering that we've got coming up. Now, if you pray that prayer, you better be ready because God will empower you to be generous, but you better be faithful in that generosity, okay? Beloved, let's let God have His way in this invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder of how important our missionaries are. Lord, they're fighting a battle. They're on the front lines. Help us to equip them. Help us to have a concern for them. Help us, Lord, to just be an encouragement. I pray for Brother Ben, Lord. I pray that you would just take him and through his ministry, that you will build a mighty church in Columbia, Missouri. That, Lord, you will work through him in a way so that the doors of the gospel will be opened. Lord, I pray not only for Ben and for Columbia, but for Brother Danny. Lord, I pray for Romanian missions. I pray, Lord, for all our missionaries. And I pray that you'll use us in support of those missionaries and that you will help us to faithfully support those missionaries. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name.